This story is a distinctive Lucan story because Luke sets the demonstration in the temple in the context of Jesus weeping over the city of Jerusalem. The setting for the purification of the temple, for the demonstration in favor of the temple as a house of prayer rather than a place of insurrection, is set in the context of Jesus weeping. And it is a kind of pronouncement, but it also sets the critique of the temple in the context of both Jesus weeping and the post-war context in which everyone in the world of Judea wept for Jerusalem and for the destruction of the temple. So Jesus' words then in his lament are, if only you had recognized on this day, that is before all of these things that later happened, if you had recognized beforehand the things that would make for peace. But now it's too late. They are hidden from your eyes. And then is this prophecy that is a very specific description of the siege of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 AD, the destruction of the city and of the temple, and of their not leaving one stone upon another that was not, you know, thrown down. And that's exactly what happened. The Romans, when they finally broke through the walls, burned the temple. They burned major parts of Jerusalem. And the temple, they leveled it. The only part of the temple that was left was what is now the Wailing Wall, which was the western wall of the outer wall of the temple. That was the only place that there was one stone left upon another. All the rest of it, this entire magnificent structure, was pulled down and destroyed. Not one stone left upon another. The crushing to the ground that happened was the death of thousands. We don't know how many were crowded into the temple area, but there were families, there were all the various armies of the Zealot coalition that were carrying out the resistance to the Roman war. The Romans did set up siege engines and ramparts to get through the walls and to break down the fortress. And they literally surrounded the city first, and then after they had conquered and broken through and conquered the city, they besieged the temple, which was the final great fortress. And they literally hemmed it in on all sides. So that this description by Jesus is an exact description of what happened. And so the impact of this is to set Jesus' critique and his prophetic demonstration in the temple in the context of the memories for his audiences, for Luke's audiences in 80, 85, 90, 95, when Luke's story was told, that it set this context of Jesus' demonstration as the destruction of the city and of the temple. It is then told as a lament, as a weeping for the city. The description of the demonstration is also a distinctive Lucan composition. the description of Jesus' actions, driving out those who were selling things, is shorter than Mark's, which describes the overturning of the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling pigeons, and he wouldn't allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. Luke's is more succinct. Began to drive out those who were selling things. And Luke's quotation of Isaiah is also shorter. In Mark, the quotation is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer among all the nations? That is, among all the Gentiles, among all of the enemies of Israel. But here it is simply, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer. So the quotation from Isaiah is, my house shall be called, shall be a house of prayer. The quotation from Isaiah, it's both abbreviated and it is pointed exclusively at the temple as a place of prayer and without any implication that it's a place of prayer for all the nations. Probability is that that element of Isaiah's prophecy was too controversial for the audiences of the Gospels. And so when Mark was first told that that was so controversial among the communities of Israelites who were hearing the story, that Luke left it out, the part of the prophecy, a house of prayer for all the nations. But the clear direction of this was the transformation of the temple from a place of prayer into a place of revolution, into a place of warfare, of what Jeremiah calls a den of robbers, of warriors, soldiers, and I've translated it insurrectionists, to make it clear that this is a reference to what happened in the war, in the insurrection. So the quotation from Jeremiah then is this phrase, a den of insurrectionists. In Greek, the word is lestes. And the evidence that we have from the very fragmentary sources from the ancient world that supports this insurrectionist translation is that Josephus uses this Greek word, lestes, like 50 times in his description of the Jewish war to describe the armies of the insurrectionists. So lestes is one of the key terms that Josephus uses over and over again to describe this. Josephus' book, The Jewish War, was written in the same period as Mark's Gospel. And so it is an indication of the meaning of words and of the use of language in this period to describe what happened in this greatest tragedy in the history of Israel. So whatever word we use, robbers does not convey the political and military dimensions of what was happening in the temple that is implied by the word lestes in Greek. The balance of this episode of Jesus' demonstration in the temple is that he was teaching there every day. So one of the motifs that some commentators have made about this so-called cleansing of the temple is that this was an act of violence, and that this is the one place where Jesus was violent and was not a nonviolent Messiah. That is not an accurate description of what is going on here. And it is not what Luke is describing. This is a prophetic demonstration in the tradition of Jeremiah, for example, just wearing underwear in the temple, of He is putting a yoke on his shoulders. So the prophets regularly did these symbolic actions as a way of dramatizing their protest against the policies, often of the priests. And in this case, what this story represents is Jesus doing a demonstration on Monday of the week that ends with his death, and in the Gospels, the resurrection, that begins with this demonstration. But Luke adds, every day he was teaching in the temple. So it's clear this was not a military action, that then the police got involved and that Jesus would have been excluded from the temple. He was teaching there every day. And the leaders, the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders, kept looking for a way to kill him because he was generating a kind of politics and response to Jewish nationalism and to practices of exclusivism by teaching the love of enemies and of doing good for those who hate you. And so the audience in Luke's context would have recognized that this is then a demonstration that was appropriate in Jesus' time, but that it also anticipated what happened only later, and was therefore a source of credibility for Jesus as a prophet and as a Messiah, who announced a different policy by identifying the ways that would lead to peace, the things that would make for peace, that were rejected in the period of his life, and that then resulted in the next 40 years later, 40-some years later, in the war and the destruction of the temple. So this approach then to the city and to the demonstration is framed by grief. Grief, looking over the city, of which by far the dominant thing that you see when you look over the city from the Mount of Olives is the temple, and the destruction of the people and of the children within the city. So there is a way in which the whole demonstration is then a lament for the choices that the people made in relation to the politics of the first century. Now, a few comments about learning this story and the sound map. This story has two episodes with three periods in each episode. The weeping over the city is a long episode of a characteristically periodic composition with five cola. So it's a long period. The days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground and you and your children within you. They will not leave you with one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God. So learning this long period, if you just note the key words in it, it makes it easier to move from one to another. So the days will come upon you. The enemies will set up ramparts, surround and hem you in on every side. They'll crush you to the ground. They'll not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize. So those key words, come upon you, ramparts surround you, hem you, crush you, leave within you not one stone upon another, because you did not recognize. If you get those key words in mind, then those are the keys to learning that long description. It's also helpful in this to identify times in which you have wept and to have then a tone of weeping in both learning and telling this lament. The second episode, that is the description of the temple and the demonstration there, is first Jesus' demonstration, which is only one period, entered the temple, driving out those who were selling, and saying, "It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of insurrectionists." So that initial sentence is also a complex sentence that describes the demonstration. Then is the summary, every day he was teaching, and then the response. Chief priests, scribes, and leaders looking for a way to kill him. But they couldn't find anything they could do, or the people were spellbound. So this is a relatively easy story to learn. All you have to do is to identify the structure and the dynamics of it, and it's relatively easy to learn. In terms of connections, I think it would be helpful for everyone who is learning this story and telling it now to imagine the situation that Judeans, Israelites, and Israelite storytellers who were telling the stories of Jesus faced in the aftermath of the war. If you can imagine, you know, the capital of your country being destroyed, and in the case of the United States, the Capitol building being thrown down and leveled to the ground. If you have loved a city, and Jerusalem has been loved probably more than any other city in the history of the world, and the complexity of that love, which has also then meant the focus of attention of it's being loved by people who come from very different perspectives, that is still going on to this day. The implication of this weeping is then a weeping for the city in the context of the post-war period, and is then a prophetic action that sets the context of the war and is an implicit appeal for, in the context of the disastrous consequences of the war, to re-emphasize the things that lead to peace and to call for the listeners to pay attention to those. And that's a theme that runs throughout the whole gospel, is the things that will lead to peace. And specifically, those are to do good for your enemies, which Jesus does over and over again, to look for ways to establish community between people who are alienated from one another. And that's what happens in both in Jesus' ministry and then in the development of the life and mission of the church as an Israelite community seeking reconciliation with Gentiles. So the impact of this story then is an invitation to Luke's listeners to reflect on the consequences of the decisions that were made that led to the war, and to go in a different direction, and to follow Jesus as the Messiah who showed the ways that would make for peace.